Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Focus Point Podcast. I'm really glad you decided to give us a listen. I hope that the words that you hear will encourage you and bless you. I encourage you also to share this with your family and your friends. If you need more information, you can head over to thepointoffocus.com where you'll find other podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and just some more general information about our ministry. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. We are continuing on in our dreams series, looking at the life of Joseph. I'm excited to continue on with this. If you have a copy of the Bible, get a hold of it, whether it's paper or electronic, and open it to Genesis 40 and 41. And basically, we're covering both of the chapters today. We'll read a little bit more in 41 while we're paraphrasing 40. And so I want you kind of to be able to be in both spots as we're kind of covering a little bit of ground today in these two stories, but we're not going to read in their entirety. And so, as we've been looking at this, last week we kind of talked about the don't change. Like, God is with you. God will help you succeed, just as we've seen in the life of Joseph. And the repeated phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph succeeded because the Lord was with him, all these kinds of things. And that Joseph didn't change just because he could get more or the possibility of having more. He already had a lot going on for him. And so he decided not to change what he thought or what he believed or how he wanted to act. And so he was thrown into prison because of that. And these are all, these episodes are on the archive. You can go check them out from the entire series that we're in called Journey to the Promised Land. We started at the beginning of the year in the book of Genesis, and we are just keep on cruising right along here. We're coming to the end, though, of the book of Genesis, and then we're going to dive into Exodus, and I'm excited for that. But let's dive into this and this aspect of waiting. Waiting for things to come to light. We've talked about it a little bit before already in this series when we talked about Abraham and how he didn't really want to wait and he tried to help God and it didn't really work out for him. But waiting is a part of the dream process. That's just how it goes. Sometimes we have to wait for our dreams to be fulfilled. Sometimes we have to wait to see what is actually going to happen. And so, diving into Genesis 41 here, it says 2 full years later. Now, that's a long time to be waiting. That's a long time to be waiting. 2 full years later. So now he was sold into slavery. He was had it good with Potiphar. And then Potiphar put him in jail because of what Potiphar's wife said about Joseph, saying that Joseph tried to attack her, pretty much, tried to sleep with her, tried to do all of that stuff, and it wasn't true. And so now we see here that Joseph's been in jail for 2 full years. So it says here, Genesis 41, 2 full years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind them from the Nile, but these were scrawny and thin. The cows stood up. The cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny cows ate the 7 healthy fat cows. At this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up, but he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he saw 7 herds of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up again and realized it was a dream. The next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams, so he called for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them the dreams, not one of them could tell him what it meant. Now, before we go any farther into verse 9, actually, well, let's read verse 9. Kind of thinking about it here. Let's read verse 9. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today I have been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. Okay, now, what was his failure? What's going on here? Well, Pharaoh's had a dream. He can't figure out the dream, but Joseph is a master of dreams, right? So if we go back to Genesis 40, we're going to see what happens. Now, while he's in jail, the Pharaoh gets upset at the two officials, the cupbearer and the baker. Okay? And so as we see here in verse 1 of Genesis 40, it says that, verse 2, that they became angry and he put him in the prison where Joseph was. While he was there, they had a dream. And they each had a dream. And they went to Joseph to interpret them. But he says that interpreting dreams is God's business, but go ahead and tell me. So they tell them their dreams. So the cupbearer says his dream, and Joseph says in verse 12, this is what the dream means. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. And we could talk a lot about that. See, just reading sometimes, just reading the Bible, reading the text through, you could just sit here and chat about a lot of what that verse means, because we see that all over, people getting in trouble for things that they didn't do. So the baker, having seen that the cupbearer's dream was good, he tells Joseph his dream. And Joseph says this, verse 18, it says, this is what the dream means. 3 baskets also represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Now, that's not very cool. The baker didn't want that to happen at all. And it says that Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for his officials and staff. He summoned the cupbearer and the baker to join his officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker just as Joseph predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. So now, 2 full years, as we turn the page to Genesis 40, we now see 2 full years later. So Joseph has been in jail now for 2 years after saying what he said to the cupbearer. So that's what the cupbearer meant in verse 9. Today I've been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. Some time ago, you were angry with me. You were angry with the chief cupbearer and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the baker and I each had a dream, and the dream each had its own meaning. There was a young man with us in prison who was a slave to the captain of the guard. When we told him our dreams, and he told us what each dream meant, everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as cupbearer, and the baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, I mean, that's probably important because he probably looked like, you know, a caveman, having been in prison and all of that. I mean, just picture that. Like, you haven't had a shave, you haven't really changed your clothes very much. He went and stood before Pharaoh. So he had to clean himself up, and he went and stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh told him what the dreams meant. And once again, he says, it's beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. So once again, Joseph, one of the things we can learn from this is Joseph knows, use an old term, where his bread is buttered. He knows who's with him. He knows who's for him. He knows all about it. And he keeps saying, this is not me. God can do this. So he tells him all of the dreams again, as we just read. And Joseph responded, verse 25. Both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The seven healthy cows and the seven healthy heads of grain represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin cows that came up later and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I have described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. This famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it means that these events have been decreed by God, and he will soon make them happen. So, now we've got this coming up. Pharaoh has a choice. We've got all of this story here. Okay? And now, this is what Pharaoh does. This is what Joseph tells Pharaoh. Therefore, Joseph should find an intelligent and wise man to put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect one-fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years, and have them gather all of the food produced in the good years that are ahead by bringing it to Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away and guard it so there will be food in the cities. That way there will be enough food to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, famine will destroy this land. So I kind of spoke out of turn there a little bit. I misread my notes a little bit. But Pharaoh is getting set up here. But also, too, if we remember the dreams that Joseph had and didn't know how it was going to happen, you didn't know why it was going to happen, but he waited at least 2 years for this to come true, but he waited longer because he had these dreams when he was a young boy of 17. And he waited and waited. And so this is what happens to Joseph. Joseph's suggestions were all received by the Pharaoh, were well received by the Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court. And all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have higher rank than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. And he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for a second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or a foot in this entire land of Egypt without your approval. So, and then he gives him all these other stuff as the rest of it pretty much summarizes what we've already kind of talked about. So, what I see in this is people knew that God was with Joseph. Because every time he did something, it's clear that God is with you. It's clear that the Lord is helping you succeed in all of these things. And we see here that Pharaoh said the same thing to Joseph after he interpreted his dreams. And now Pharaoh is in a good place because someone was there to understand what God was trying to tell Pharaoh. Pharaoh would have probably never figured it out. There was nobody else but Joseph that knew what the dream meant. And God knew that. God had Joseph right where he needed him to be. Right when he needed him to be. Not right where he needed him to be, but also right when he needed him to be. It was all planned out from the start. As we saw at the opening of this series, when we talked about Jeremiah 29:11, and we saw that it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So God isn't setting us up to be destroyed. He doesn't. That's not his goal for us. God wasn't setting Abraham up to be destroyed. God was setting Abraham up to be the father of many nations, where the entire earth would be blessed through his descendants. That's what God was setting Abraham up to be. If we have other, but Abraham had other problems because he didn't fully listen to God. He didn't fully trust God. He didn't fully have faith. And that's what we've been talking about in this series. Our big idea in this series of dreams is that faithfulness to God's dreams are rewarded. Being faithful to God, understanding that God is able to do more than we can even imagine. And we just have to remain faithful and obedient to him, much like we learned in the Look to the Stars series, which our big idea for that series was God keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful and obedient to him even when things aren't clear. And so as we've kind of studied through these stories, we've kind of saw how it took Abraham a little bit, right, to get there. And then finally, when he had to when God tested him with Isaac, finally, when he had to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham finally understood that God was in control, even though the future didn't seem clear. Joseph had that already. Not once do we see recorded in the Bible that Joseph was frustrated, that Joseph got upset, that Joseph tried to take matters into his own hands. The thing is, like I said, it's not recorded in Scripture, but that doesn't mean that Joseph wasn't frustrated a little bit. I mean, being in jail for 2 years, having told somebody that was going to get out 3 days later and never spoke of him, and he had to wait 2 years. And you sit there and you have to imagine, because these people are human, you have to think and imagine that Joseph was just like, what did I do to get here to do all of this? The Lord is with me. I've had success and now I'm here. My father thinks I'm dead. My brothers did this to me. And you have to imagine that he just in this space, but he kept being faithful to God. He didn't take matters into his own hands. And as we look at these stories, that's what we see different as we've kind of built to these, even with Jacob and Esau, like in previous stories with a brother in the same kind of situation, Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel and Esau was so upset that he was going to kill Jacob next time he saw him, but he didn't do it. As we see this progression of learning, I think, in these stories, and that waiting is a part of the process. Waiting is a part of the dream process. Sometimes we get frustrated while we wait. I know I do. I get frustrated waiting for a red light. Okay? I'm sure Abraham was frustrated when he had to wait 25 years for the son that God promised him. And I'm pretty sure Joseph was frustrated that he had to wait 2 years just to get out of jail. But longer than that to even see what his dreams meant. Because as we talked about, it's unclear, but he probably had an idea that he was going to be some type of royalty in order for those dreams to have made sense to him. In fact, his brothers said, "What, are you going to be some kind of king?" Yes, indeed he is. He is second in command of Egypt right now. But he had to wait for it. And so I feel God telling us, and me too, we're all waiting on some kind of dream. We're all waiting on a promised land. We're all waiting for something, right? We're waiting for the time when our finances clear up finally and we can get our head above water financially, where maybe our marriage, we have big dreams for our marriage, and right now it's kind of rough, but we have hope that it's going to be better. And we're just waiting for maybe that time for it to get better. We're waiting for our job to turn around and for us to get that promotion that we want. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. But you see, Joseph had those things too. But none of it was what God wanted him to be in. Maybe you're trying to get a promotion in a job that God doesn't want to keep you at for very long, and he's got another thing right around the corner. You see, he was in Potiphar's house, Joseph was, and he was second in command there. But that's not what God had for him. God had this dream for Pharaoh. God had this dream that he was going to interpret for Pharaoh. God had the space that he was going to be in 2 years later. Could he have kept Joseph in that space? Well, yes, of course. But he wouldn't have met the cupbearer then, and it wouldn't have unrolled like that and unfolded. So maybe you're trying to be in a space that God doesn't have for you. God doesn't have a full plan for you there. God wants you to be there for a little bit. And God wants you to succeed there. But he doesn't want you to stay there. That's not what he has for you. He's got something bigger for you. I understood that in a season of job loss. And I didn't understand. And I was waiting and trying to figure out. And God had set me up in that job. It was a job that I had prayed for. Because I was frustrated in my other job. It interfered with my church time, my recharge time, right, at church. That's why we go to church. We go to church to sit, to breathe, to get recharged, to focus our attention and our eyes on Jesus. And we go there to recharge our batteries. Just like we would go to a gas station to fill up our car. Just like we would, you know, refill the water in the house. We refill things. And that's what we're doing when we go to church. We're refilling ourselves. And when I think about this, God had that job for me. And it was just a random thing. I've talked about it a little bit here before. It was a lady that I barely started volunteering at the church that I go to now. And she heard me talking one day and just like, you know what? Call this number. I have a job for you. And I did. And she did. And there we were. And it was exactly what I wanted. It was a Monday through Friday job. It was 8 to 4 and all of that stuff. And it actually prepared me better for a season of divorce later. I was able to provide for myself. I was able to save up money, which helped me in another season. And it's just been amazing to look back on. But then I lost that job in a random event that was made up and fabricated and a bunch of lies. Sound familiar? Joseph was lied about and he was taken out of a position. And now I'm still waiting for what's next. I'm currently doing a job that I love, actually. But I'm still waiting for something else because it's not what I believe God has for me. And I imagine that Joseph felt the same way, and maybe you feel the same way too. You're kind of in a space where you're waiting. You've kind of been asking God, and it's kind of like one of those things. Come on, God, give me something, right? Maybe you felt like Joseph. Maybe it's been 2 years. Maybe it's been longer. But I think God wants us to see here that his dream, that our faithfulness to God, and that our faithfulness to his plan will be rewarded. Joseph kept God in his heart, kept him in his life, kept him in his thing. And he's kept saying, I do nothing without God. As we've read several times already in the story, that the Lord was with Joseph and it helped him succeed. And people saw that. And that's what's important. Joseph remained faithful. And I think that's what God is telling us as we kind of combine the Abraham series theme and this dreams and this Joseph series theme, where it could read, God keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful and obedient to him, even when the future isn't clear, because faithfulness to God's dreams are rewarded. And I just love this. I couldn't do this by myself. I couldn't think of this on one. It's the word of God. I couldn't do this by myself. I'm not that smart to tie in those kind of themes, but God is. And God wants us to see that through these stories of this Old Testament book, that we can see that God is faithful, that God keeps his promises, and that if God says something, it's going to happen, because he told Abraham what was going to happen, and it did. He told Isaac what was going to happen, and it did. He told Jacob and Esau what was going to happen, and it did. He told Joseph what was going to happen, and it did. And he even told Pharaoh what was going to happen, and it did. So if anything that we can see here is God keeps his promises. God means what he says, and God does what he says. And if God says that he's going to be with us, if God says that he's got good plans for us, if God says that he wants us to prosper, we're going to have those things. But sometimes, as I've said in the Abraham series, sometimes we've got to step back and let God drive. Sometimes we got to step back and try not to help God do the things that he says he's going to do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and don't lean on our own understanding. And then he'll make our path straight. When we lean on our own understanding, we only see part of the story. God sees the complete, full picture of the story. But we only see this one phase, this one point. And if we react in it, instead of fully trusting God and fully relying on God, we can mess it up. Just like Abraham did. And as we see, Joseph didn't, and things are going well for him. And I know it's not easy, and I'm sitting here talking like it is. It's not easy. I get it. It's not easy to fully trust God, to fully rely on God, because we're human. But so are these people in the Bible, and we can learn a great deal from them. And we can see in these pages so far that we've read, In these 41 chapters of Genesis that we've so far looked at, we can see God's faithfulness every single step of the way, even when people messed up, even when people turned their backs, even when people ran off, even when people made decisions that weren't really, God still was faithful to them. God still kept his promise to them. So I hope that finds you well. I hope that's an encouragement to you that, as we talked about, the very Jeremiah 29:11, God's got good plans for us, and they're plans for our success. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to have life to the full. God wants us to be happy, really. So take that encouragement with you. We're actually next week closing out the book of Genesis and the dreams series. So I hope you'll come back for that. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.